So the way one man is delighted to give this, the 12th or Apostolic Sabbath Church Congregation outside the 12th Hour of Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is December 19, 2017, or the CBET 2, 2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, In Times Like These. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Yahshua, yes, He's the one. This rock is Yahshua, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, open the Bible. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Yahshua, yes, He's the one. This rock is Yahshua, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure, I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Yahshua, yes, He's the one. This rock is Yahshua, the only one. I'm very sure, I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
You must be born again, part 1, John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came unto Yahshua by the night and said unto him, the Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from Yahweh. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except Yahweh be with him. Yahshua answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of the Yahweh. Does that suggest then, the moment that you become a born again, that you actually can see the kingdom of Yahweh? Well, that's what it says here. In other words, it just says that unless he's born again, he can't see the kingdom of Yahweh. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Yahshua answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter and do the kingdom of the Yahweh. Now it says there in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." But verse 4, Titus chapter 3, "But after that the kindness and love of the Yahweh, the Yeshua our Savior toward man appeared, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according unto his mercy he saved us by the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through the Yeshua Messiah our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according unto the hope of the eternal life." Now, Romans 3:24 goes along with that. Let's go and hurriedly read that. It says, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the Yahshua Messiah." And then it goes on Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, collaborates a little bit with that. "For by grace are ye saved through the faith." I added the article. Faith in what? Faith in the blood of the Yahshua. Faith in the power of the blood of the Yahshua. That has only has the power to redeem and to remiss sins. His blood is the only thing that can remiss sin. "And that not of yourself, it is the gift of the Father. Not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, what did Titus say over there in Titus 3:5? He said, "Not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according unto his mercy he saved us." How many times you hear them Adventists say, "You can't work your way to heaven. You're not saved by works." That's true. But if you're just dependent upon works, going through the mechanical procedures of following the sanctuary system, and you don't understand the reason why you're doing it, but you think that this is all you have to do to be saved, is just go through the mechanics, well, then you're deceived. That's what Titus said. He says in Titus 3, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." So now, as we go back to John chapter 3 and get back on board here with our main theme, it says John chapter 3, we go to verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." John chapter 1, verse 12 through 13, "Which were born not of the blood," let's back up to verse 12, "but as many as received him," received who? Received the word, Yahshua, the Son. "Unto him gave he power to become the sons of the Father, Yahweh, even unto them that believe on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the Yahweh. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by the Moses, but grace and truth came by the Yeshua Messiah. What does that mean, grace and truth? You mean Moses didn't have the truth? If he had the law of Yahweh and he was told to give it and to raise up the sanctuary and teach obedience to the whole law, well then, didn't he have the truth? Yes, he had the truth. It says in Psalms 119:142, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness and thy law is the truth. So what is John talking about here when John 1:17, when he says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Yeshua Messiah? Well, maybe we'll go to Romans 3:24 and shed a little light on that. It says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the Yeshua Messiah. So apparently then the redemption wasn't by the practice of the law and the animal sacrifice. It only was a schoolmaster to lead us unto the true Redeemer. And that's what it means, the truth. The truth and the redemption of mankind out of his sins. And that is through the blood. The truth wasn't through the blood of the animal. The truth is through the blood of the Yeshua. Because it says out over there in Galatians chapter 3, as we go there, in verse 19, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions. What law? The law of sacrifice that teaches about the redemption through the blood of the sacrifice. You have to have blood. It wasn't time for Yahshua to die until he did. And so therefore, before that time came for him to die and redeem all mankind, they had to have a substitute. Had to have the blood. And the lamb represented the lamb of the Yahweh. So it says in Galatians 3:19, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression. Till the seed should come unto whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Alright, now who is this mediator? Well, we know that that mediator is the Son, Yahshua. And now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but Yahweh is one, the Father is one, but the mediator is not a mediator of one. Is the law then against the promises of Yahweh? Yahweh forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. So now in Romans 3:29-30, we might look at that. Is he the Yahweh of the Jews only? And is not also the Gentile? Yes, of the Gentiles. Romans 10:12 sheds a little bit more light on that point. It says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. In other words, the Jew and the Gentile. For the same Yeshua over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Yeshua shall be saved. And so we have a cross reference there, back to a prophecy there in Joel 2:32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Yahshua shall be delivered. For in the Mount Zion and in Jerusalem in Israel shall be deliverance. It says in two different places there is deliverance during these last days. Wherever the Mount Zion is set up at, and we have the Mount Zion of the 12th hour, and this is where Yahshua And Yahweh the Father has chosen to place their name, shall be deliverance. Okay, so you have deliverance. You have to be where his name has been placed. You have to be where his servant, his inspired messenger, prophet, whatever, is teaching deliverance, and he's the only one that has the formula. And it says right here, there's the for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, shall be, future tense, as the Yahshua has said, and the remnant whom the Yahshua shall call. Then it goes on in Joel chapter 3, it says, for behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, Y-H-U-S-A-L-E-M, I will also gather all nations. He's gathering all nations right now against Jerusalem. And it says, and bring them again, and shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. I will also gather all nations, and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. Now he's going to bring them against Jerusalem. And then, once he gets them there, he's going to bring them down then in the valley of Jehoshaphat, which is in Israel. And will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Who is this nation that he's going to plead with? These the half-brother of Isaac, the Ishmaelites, the descendants of Ishmael, the Arabs, the Palestinians, the Muslims. Because there's got to be a remnant gathered from them. But they're the number one people leading out in the world to destroy their brother, Isaac. And so that's the reason why Yahweh is gathering all these nations of the Arab nation. And they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for an harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. So what have these nations done? And that's what these here Muslims do. They sell their daughters. They sell their little old 10, 11, 12, 13 year old, 14 year old daughters to whoever has got the money to pay their price. Yea, and what have you to do with me, O Tara and Zidon, and all the coast of Palestine? See, this was right there. And what have you got to do with me, O, and all the coast of Palestine? Where is it? Where is Palestine at today? Palestine has a place in Israel on the Mediterranean coast, sea there, called Gaza, the Gaza Strip. But they've carved out of the land of Israel that Israel has let them have to live in for the time being. And that's your coast of Palestine, right there on the Mediterranean Sea. Will you render me a recompense? And if you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Because you have taken my silver and my gold. And those Arab nations, they have parted the land of Israel, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Syria, and all, and Transjordan, and all of those countries, they've taken and stolen all the oil and all the gold and silver that they could find in that land and appropriate to themselves and become billionaires, those Palestinians. And have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant thing. And what is their temples? That's the synagogues of the Muslims. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have you sold unto the Grecians, Gentiles, that ye might remove them far from their border. So what happened? They've made it impossible for their own people to live in the land that they've stolen from Israel, the Palestinians. And so they've got a mass immigration going on in Europe. All over Europe and clear up into the Netherlands up north. And all over the world. They've scattered all of the United States and Canada and every nation in the world they have scattered to. And it says, you have the children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have you sold unto the Grecians that you might remove them far from their border. And that's where the Jews are at today. The Jews have been sold all over the world. And they're far from their border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place where you have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. So those Muslims, those Arabs, they sell they force the Jews to be removed out of their land all over the world, and then they follow them all over the world. Wherever they end up in a country, and they try to kill them there and persecute them there. And this is what Joel is talking about. Behold, I will raise them out of the place where you have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. So what's happening? We got a president called Donald Trump. I just read in the news yesterday, last night. Says, Donald Trump has won the war over ISIS. So he has destroyed their headquarters, and there's just a few little hot spots throughout the world now. They're no longer a danger and a threat to overthrow any country. Because Donald Trump has already won the war on that because he turned his generals loose to run their armies as they see fit to accomplish the task. And when he turned them loose and gave them full rein, they went in there, and in 1 year's time, they did what other presidents of the United States couldn't do in 25, 30 years. He did it all in less than 1 year. And it says in Joel 2:8, and I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabaeans, to a people far off. For the Yahshua has spoken it. Proclaim you this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares and the swords. So where are we at today? Well, we've got to, Yahshua has got to return the recompense back upon their own heads. And so in order to do that, then everyone's going to have to beat the plowshares and the swords and your pruning hooks and the spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come all ye heathen and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Yahshua. So these people, these Muslims, these Palestinians, these Arabs, the Egyptians, they're all called heathen. Let the heathen be wakened and come to the valley of Jehoshaphat. So let him be wakened up and come to the valley of Jehoshaphat, it says there in verse 2 of Joel chapter 3. He said, I will gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel. Okay. And so what's going to happen after he pleads with them there? You can go to Ezekiel 38 and 39, and especially 39, and you can see what happens to them. There's going to be a burying place in Israel called Hamangog. And this is where they're going to be buried after he pleads with them. And they will not hearken unto him, so he's going to have them, they're going to be destroyed. And there's going to be a very great valley called the Valley of Hamongar. Graves of, and they're going to bury them all out there. Millions of them. So it says in Joel 2 or 3, verse 12, let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Okay. So those heathen are not going to be called up to Jerusalem, and he's going to judge them there. He's going to call them to the valley of Jehoshaphat, out there in the desert. Because when he judges them, he's going to destroy them after he judges them. That's true, he brings them to judgment. He's bringing all these Arab nations to judgment. Put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full, the fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Yahshua is near in the valley of decision. Now, it just so happens that Revelation chapter 16, verse 12 to 16, is a prophecy by John in the end time, collaborating with Joel here, chapter 3, verse 14. Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Yahshua is near in the valley of decision. And I wrote a song one time, the Holy Spirit gave it to me. The title was, Just Cross the Valley of Indecision. Well, that's your valley of indecision right down there, where this enemy is being called to be judged. The valley of indecision. It's called the valley of decision, but when you think about it right, it's the valley of indecision. So in Revelation 16, 12 to 16, it says, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of the Yahweh Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Let's go now back to Joel chapter 3 and read verse 15. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Yahshua also shall roar out of Zion. Now, in addition to now, after he judged those in the valley of Jehoshaphat, he's going to also roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake. This is after he judges the valley, the heathen, and the valley of Jehoshaphat. The Muslim, after he judges the Muslims and punishes them for their iniquity against their brother Isaac, the Jews, and shall shake. But the Yahshua will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall you know that I am the Yahshua, your Savior, dwelling in Zion. My holy mountain. This is Yahshua's holy mountain. His blood bought that mountain. His sacrifice on Golgotha, right, the hill outside of that mountain where he paid his great sacrifice. You could probably look for that from that mountain there on Mount Zion, which is Yahshua's mountain. You could probably look across the way and see the mountain, the hill of Golgotha, where he was hung on the cross. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her any more. Okay. So what's it going to take care of that situation over in Israel? It's going to take the great battle of Armageddon. That's the only thing that's going to solve the problem. It's not going to be solved as we watch the news day in and day out and to see all what's going on. It's not going to be solved by Donald Trump or Netanyahu, the leader of Israel, or the leader of any nation. It's going to be solved by the leader of the kingdom of heaven, the King of Kings, the Sovereign of Sovereigns. And it says in Joel 3:18, and it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Yahshua, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness. The type was made of that out in Kermit, Texas, because Edom is the mount that Esau ruled from, the firstborn of Isaac. And you shall be a desolate wilderness. Well, that's what happened. Yahweh raised up his messenger. He brought his messenger to that desert many years before he installed him out there. And then he installed him out there, and he ruled for 33 years. And then that messenger was left out there. He was spewed out and left out there in that desert because of this prophecy right here. Edom shall be a desolate wilderness for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. So Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas, out in the desert, that was called their land. That was where they, and that's where they ended up, and that's where they died, right out there in their land. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Yahrusha from generation to generation. But Judah just moved on from there. 2003, Judah moved on from there and came to the hill countries of Judea. Back home, in other words. Judah came back home. Judah wasn't supposed to be out in the wilderness, no how. Judah said, home is right here in the hill countries of Judea, where the Mount Zion at the 12th hour is located. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Yahshua dwelleth in Zion. So he said, I'm going to cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Yahshua. So Yahshua offered to cleanse their blood at Gilead Center from 1970 to 2003. But he wasn't able to, because he had a rebellious leader that turned rebellious. So he said, I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed. Well, we're still looking for that cleansing right now, here at Mount Zion, the 12th hour. This is our next procedure. That's the end of Joel chapter 3. Now let us go to Jeremiah chapter 30, and let's see what Mr. Jeremiah has to give to us today. Let's start with verse 1. It says, the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Yahshua saying, thus speaketh the Yahshua Messiah of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. So in Jeremiah 25:13, we'll go read about this book for a moment. It says that, and I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. Now, if you want to find out what all has been prophesied against the nation, just read all of Jeremiah. So now, in Jeremiah 30, it says verse 3, for lo, the days come, saith Yahshua, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith Yahshua, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave unto their fathers. and they shall possess it. Ezekiel 39:25 corroborates that. And we might look at that real quickly. It says, therefore thus saith the Yahshua Messiah, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel. Okay, and will be jealous for my holy name. What represents the whole house of Israel today? I'm talking about the living. It represents the 144,000, the first fruits, and the house of David, the wave sheaf that set up the house of the 144,000. Okay? But it says whole house of Israel. So then you'd have to go to Ezekiel 34 and read verse 13 to understand more about this whole house. It says, and I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. So, he's going to have to gather people out of all the countries and bring them to their own land. But we've got a situation here where it talks about the whole house of Israel. And we'd have to go to Ezekiel 37 to understand more about that whole house of Israel, what constitutes the whole house of Israel. And we might find out that there's going to have to be a resurrection of the Israel when she became a nation back under Moses. So, we go to Ezekiel 37, and it says, the hand of Yahweh was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of Yahweh, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and called me past by them and round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Yahshua Messiah, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Yahshua. Thus saith Yahshua Messiah unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Yahshua. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith Yahshua Messiah, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith Yahshua Messiah, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am Yahshua when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, Yahshua, have spoken it and performed it, saith Yahshua. Now we go to Ezekiel chapter 36, back up to verse 27. And it says, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Huh. After he resurrects the whole house of Israel that has been gone for 3,500 years, and then he's going to put his spirit back in them, and he's going to cause them to walk in his statutes and judgments, just like he tried to get their fathers to do when he brought them into the wilderness under Moses. And it says in Ezekiel 36:28, "And you shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your Elohim. I will be your Yahweh. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree, and the increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourself in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abomination. Now for your sakes do I do this, saith Yahshua Messiah. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel." Okay. "Thus saith Yahshua Messiah, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the city. And the way shall be built." He's going to raise up the whole house, going to resurrect them. And then he says, and you're going to build, the way shall be built, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. So all these resurrected people are going to set up the house again in the land of Israel. They're going to go back to where they left off before they died. 3,500 years ago, 3,000 years ago. And they shall say, "This land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden." Oh my. So when did this prophecy start meeting its fulfillment then? About 1880. They're coming this way from 1880 on. Herschel brought the first settlement into Israel about 1896-98, and they started building the old waste places. And by 1935, the Million Testament people went over there, wrote a book on it, took pictures of it, and said, "This land has become like the Garden of Eden." And they wrote a book entitled "Restoring Palestine According to Prophecy." And I have the little book. I have that little book. "And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that Adi Yahshua build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. Adi Yahshua has spoken it. I will do it." Oh my. Ezekiel 17:24. Let's go look at that now. Back up a little bit. It says that, "And all the trees of the field shall know that Adi Yahshua have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. Adi Yahshua have spoken and have done it." Now it says there in Ezekiel 36:37. "Thus saith Yahshua Messiah, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock." So he's going to take and resurrect these people. And the way he increases them, he resurrects more and more and more until he gets the whole house of Israel resurrected. That's how he increases them. "As the holy flock, as a flock of Yerushalayim and her solemn feast, as so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Yahshua." Now that's the end of the 36th chapter. Alright, now we go back to Ezekiel 37, where we left off. Verse 15, "The word of Yahshua came again to me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick." He said, now, moreover, in all these same things that I've done, I've done resurrected the whole house of Israel. Now I've got them all resurrected. Now he's talking about the Son of Man here in the 12th hour, this antitypical Ezekielite, which would be antitypical David. "Moreover, thou Son of Man, antitypical David, take thee one stick and ride upon it for Judah, And when I say antitypical David, you're talking about antitypical Elijah. Okay? And for the children of Israel, his companion. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companion. So apparently, then, the whole house of Israel has been resurrected in the north, the 10 tribes. The 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, have been resurrected in the south. Okay, so now it's time for to join these two together. 17. And join them one to another and to one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by thee? Say unto them, Thus saith Yeshua Messiah, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellow, and will put them even with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the stick whereon thou writest, this antitypical David, shall be in thine hand, or be in your hand, before their eyes. In other words, you're going to take these two sticks and put them together in one, and you're going to place it before the whole house of Israel, the 12 tribes, because they have been resurrected and gathered back into my land. And say unto them, Thus saith Yeshua Messiah, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, where they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king unto them all, and there shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. This is talking about ancient Israel, folks, to putting these two great nations back together again. After they were subjugated after Solomon's death, 721 B.C. Okay. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgression. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their Elohim. And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant. So he said, now in addition to all this that I've already done, I'm going to make a covenant of peace with them. So apparently, this is a new covenant. And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their Elohim and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Yahshua, do sanctify Israel when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Okay, Ezekiel 38. And the word of Yahshua came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him. That's talking about those communist countries, that Russia and all of them up there in the north. And say, Thus saith Yahshua Messiah, Behold, I'm against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. And we just had the president of Russia yesterday, Putin. He says he would like to mediate the peace process between Israel and Palestine for them to become two nations side by side. All of a sudden we got an atheist communist nation. After Donald Trump has said Israel is got to be recognized as one nation and one capital for all of Israel, and that's Jerusalem. And so all of a sudden this communist Putin from Russia, Gog and Magog, he's coming into the picture now. He's, let me get over and negotiate. Let me mediate this peace thing. And Ezekiel 38:4, and I will turn thee back and put hooks in thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them hand and sword, Persia, Ethiopia, Libya with them, all of them with shields and helmet, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarmah of the north quarters and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy companions that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Thus saith the, now this is in addition to Yahshua having gathered all of the nations down into the valley of Jehoshaphat in Israel and judged them, and that was after the battle of Armageddon. And now here we come with this here Gog and Magog out of the north again, after Israel has been set free and her enemies have all been destroyed. Yahshua had come and brought them in the valley of Jehoshaphat, judged them and destroyed them, and had them buried there in the valley of Hamongog. And lo and behold, here comes Hamongog now, Gog and Magog out of the north. And it says in verse 10, thus saith Yahshua Messiah, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. Now it says in verse 8, it says that, and after many days thou shalt be visited, in the latter years thou shalt come into the land. And then it says here in verse 16, and thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land, it shall be in the latter days. Okay, so this would be in the 12th parabolic that we're in now. And this is still yet future. And I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, that when I shall be sanctified in thee, O God, before their eyes. Okay. Now it says there in Ezekiel 39, verse 1, therefore thou, son of man, prophesy against Gog, and say, thus saith Yahshua Messiah, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. And I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north part. And I will bring thee up on the mountains of Israel. And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy band, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. So now this is what happens to Gog and Magog. They fall upon the mountains of Israel. But those other nations, they're over in Joel, and said they are brought into the valley of Jehoshaphat, down in Israel, in the valley. And that's where they're judged, and that's where they are destroyed. And now he's going to bring all the enemies from Gog and Magog, from the north, and from Ethiopia. Ethiopia's in Africa, folks. It's west of Israel. But he's going to bring Ethiopia and Libya and all of them, African nations that are also against Israel. They're going to join this Gog and Magog, and then he's going to cause them to fall upon the mountains of Israel. And it says in Ezekiel 39, verse 5, thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith Yahshua Messiah, and I will send a fire on Magog, and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Yahshua. So when so will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people, Israel. That holy name is Yahushua. And Yahweh Elohim, the Father. And I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore, and the heathen shall know that I am the Yahshua, the Holy One in Israel. Now, Isaiah speaks about the Holy One about 46 times, and Isaiah is collaborating here with Isaiah 43:3-9, and we'll turn to that right quick and read it, and bring this service to a close. Isaiah 43:3-9. Isaiah 43:3, for I am the Yahshua, thy Savior, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. All right, let's do it again. For I am the Yahshua, thy King, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Syria for thee. Verse 9. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witness, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is of the truth. And he says in Jeremiah 43:10, ye are my witnesses, saith Yeshua, and my servant whom I have chosen. And who is that? That's Israel. That you may know that and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed. In other words, Yahweh the Father always was and always will be. He was not formed as we have any knowledge of. So Yahshua is talking about before him. There was no deity formed. He was the first creation of the Father. That's Revelation 3:14. And so this brings us to the study. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Further along.
Lift it and start, we're off to wander. I sent Jesus all the days long. While there are others living about us, just as molested, knowing the wrong. Father of long, with no one about it. Father of long, with understand why. Cheer up my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it, oh, by and by. When death has come and taken the loved one, it leaves a home so lonely and dim. Then do we wonder why this prosper, living so wicked year after year? Father of long will know about it. Father of long will understand why. Cheer up my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it. Take the chalice and our loving master. A few more days later and wait. Those of the road left empty as nothing. As we sleep through the beautiful day. Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. Cheer up my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand. standeth open God. And we see Yahshua coming in glory. And he comes from his home in the sky. Then we shall be there in the great mansion. We'll understand it over and by. Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. Yet my brother live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by.